Good morning. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind and at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith, so that no man may be disturbed by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction, and so it came to pass, as you know. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you and our labor should be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we also long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we are comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account, as we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all men, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before our God and Father at his coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen. In chapter 3, Paul is relaying the story again of how he left Timothy in charge to find out exactly what's going on with the church here in Thessalonica. And he tells them, kind of, he's almost going back now and just kind of doing a summary of what he's been sharing during this time. And he's telling them that, you know, we left Timothy behind because he wanted to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. He also wants the church to know that that just like he had told them before, that they're going to suffer, and that Paul and his companions were also going to suffer. Excuse me. I think this is a really good word for all of us. You know, sometimes when we think about Christianity and when we think about the gospel, a lot of times we feel like, well, if I believe in Jesus, then everything should be great. You know, that life should be perfect. That, you know, my job, my relationships, my finances, you know, every part of our life should come into perfect order. And I would say yes and no. Yes meaning, yeah, your life does come into perfect order. The no part, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be comfortable the rest of this journey, but you will be comforted. One thing that God continually reminds us and what God promises us, that he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. And so as life happens in the midst of us, and good things and bad things. And we're actually gonna pray today in a little bit about some not so good things that are going on. You know, but even in the midst of that, God promises us that he will be with us. And that's worth more than gold. Right? Life is gonna always happen around us. People are gonna die, people are gonna get sick, people are gonna lose their jobs, people are gonna have difficulty in relationships. Jesus Christ came and he redeemed all those things. But the reality is we still have to work this stuff out in the flesh. And he's telling these guys, look, you know, when we were with you, verse 4, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. And so it came to pass, as you know. He's telling them, look, I want you to be aware, right, that we told you what was going to happen before. And part of Paul's heart in explaining this is that There's Paul and his companions ran into such difficulty, he thought it might be very discouraging to the church here, you know. And then at the same time, he thought, oh man, we're going through difficulty. Maybe, you know, the church in Thessalonica is also going to go through tremendous difficulty. And so he's very earnest. I mentioned when we started 1 Thessalonians that Paul really bears his soul to the church here. There must be some kind of supernatural connection that Paul has with this church. Because he's so encouraged, even in the midst of his suffering, He's so encouraged by what's going on in the church here. So much so that he says that, you know, we're comforted through your faith. We're, even though we're afflicted, you know, verse 7. Even though we're under distress, that there, because we're hearing about what God's doing in your midst, that there is such joy that's happening there. And, you know, I'm no Paul, you know, but I almost get a sense of what that's like. And I was in Beijing this past weekend, and I ministered, I spoke three times during the weekend, and I'm ministering to different groups of people, and then on the Sunday service. And man, I tell you, God's doing something there. You know, it's not that God's not doing something here, you know, but man, there is such a tangible presence of God. You know, they turned, you know, P. Sam Kim's living room into the sanctuary. It's amazing. I was actually in the room. I was getting ready, you know, and then I come out, and all of a sudden, the living room turned into a sanctuary. I don't know how they just moved everything around, and, you know, they put the TV on top of three tables. I mean, it was just like this crazy jigsaw puzzle that they put together. And I was sitting in the back. You know, they put the couches in the back, and I had like about five girls sitting next to me on the sofa. And we're just worshiping, and I just look over, and you know, for me, it's like I thought it was really good. I mean, I miss Chris leading worship, so I thought it was really good. But I look over, and all five girls are, you know, they're all crying. I was like, wow, God, you're doing something here. You know, I mean, it's just amazing. Then I end up speaking, and you know, this girl got saved, and you know, she said as soon as she walked into the apartment. As soon as she walked in, she's never been to church in her whole life. As soon as she walked in, she just began to cry. She cried the whole service until finally someone at the end said, "Hey, would you like to meet Jesus?" All right, and then she accepted Christ. And I mean, just amazing. But just the presence of God. And so, and all that's going on there, you know. But yet, I know that there's difficulty going on here, you know, in people's relationships. We're gonna pray a little bit, but I don't know if you guys heard. Stanley Ho's father passed away a couple days ago, you know. So I'm actually on my way to Singapore tomorrow, and just, you know, I mean, all these things are going on. People are losing their jobs, and but even in the midst of, I mean, it can't be compared to what Paul is going through, but even in the midst of that, there is a sense of, man, just rejoicing, you know, for what God is doing in Beijing and what also God's doing in our midst as well. And that's why you take, it's the good things and the bad things. And invariably in our lives, the good things will very much overwhelm whatever hardships that we're going through. And so he reminds these guys, look, you know, there's going to be difficulties that come our way. Remember Jesus, he said the very same thing to the church before he left. He says, in this world, you will have tribulation. But fear not, for I have overcome the world. You know, Jesus made it clear that even in our own personal walk, that not everything is going to be rosy, that there's going to be difficulties that come our way. In fact, Paul will later tell his spiritual son, Timothy, in his epistle, and he says, and those who desire to live godly will be persecuted. And so if it's our heart to really be godly and to really be with Christ and really draw closer to God, persecution is going to come our way. You know, we very easily forget in a Western world that we have an enemy that prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour, as Paul or as Peter would mention in his epistle. And so we have to be very aware that things are going to happen. And so he forewarns these guys that, look, I told you that you're going to suffer affliction, you know, but don't worry. God is with you. And maybe you're going through something this morning. Maybe you know someone that's going through something this morning. Pray. Pray. It's the currency of heaven. Right? It's the currency of our hearts that we lift each other to the Lord in prayer. And God moves on our behalf. And he can redeem any situation that occurs. Death, brokenness, distress, sickness. God can redeem anything and everything. You know, but be aware. This happens. And so we see Paul's heart from verse 5. Even continue to go on, he says, for this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith. And you're talking, Paul is talking in the midst of persecution. He's talking in the midst of imprisonment. He's going through a lot of difficult things, but he's not focusing on that. He's focusing on the church in Thessalonica. I think this is a good word for many of us. that may be going through difficult things, you can end up focusing on the tough stuff, giving yourself to it, meditating. I mean, you know what I mean? Like just mulling it over in your head over and over and over again. Or you can give yourself to somebody else, right? You can give yourself to something that's beyond yourself. You can focus yourself. You could focus on your problems. I'm not saying be escape. You know, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying forget about it, just go to the movies and, you know, it's not the plan. But in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your distress, you can reach out and help somebody else. In the midst of your difficulty, you can lend a hand to someone that's probably going through even more difficult thing than you're going through. In Beijing, during their service, they have a lot of people give testimonies, and two of the guys went with Pastor Eugene to Chichihar, you know, Max and Regina, and they shared their testimony. It was powerful. Yeah, I mean, just really powerful. And they're basically saying, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, like most good missions testimonies, you know, I don't know why I was there, but God sent me there. I didn't want to go, but I went. You know, it's like everyone does that, right? I didn't want to go, but I went. I obeyed God, and God blew my mind. I was worried about X, Y, and Z, and then I met these people that are so carefree and worse situation than I'm in, and yet just the presence of God is around them. And so I felt really bad for complaining about what I don't have when I have so much more than what they have. You know, this is a typical third world mission story, you know. But it was great though, because it reminded us again, yeah. We can be insular, you know, we can be like navel gazing and just focusing on our troubles and our situation and what I don't have, and I'm not this and I'm not that, and I don't have this and I don't have that. And you can do that, but you know the end result, you're just gonna be miserable. Or you can be like Paul. In the midst of his suffering, in the midst of his imprisonment, in the midst of his persecution, he's not navel-gazing. He's concerned for other people. He's outward focused instead of inward focused. He's about other people. And he says, even, you know, I was so concerned. I couldn't stand it anymore. Even though I'm going through hell, I couldn't stand it anymore. I wanted to find out what was going on with you and make sure that you didn't suffer under the same temptation that, you know, or same suffering that we were going through. And he becomes outward focused. He ministers to other people. There's something about that. And then there's an idea, a really false idea in the church that says that, well, you can minister to people when you're well. No. Look, you're never going to be well, okay? None of us are ever going to be whole until Jesus comes back. We see in part and we prophesy in part, but until the perfect comes, right, then I'll be known, fully known. And so we have understand this. And so there's this idea, there's this Catholic priest years ago wrote this book, The Wounded Healer. I think just Henry Nouwen just says it so well. We are all wounded healers. We're all broken in some way. But that's really the gift that we offer to people. Because it's like this. I'm broken, but I'm still here. Do you know what I mean? I mean there's even though, you know, life is not hunky-dory, I'm broken, but I'm still here. And I'm still going to speak life. That's faith. That's what faith is all about. And Paul is in this place and saying, man, we're afflicted. There's things happening. But man, I was so concerned for you. I was so concerned for what's going on around there. That's something, you know. And if you're going through difficulty in this season of your life, don't just simply look upon your situation. Look out to others. You know, I was talking to Pastor Nate this morning, and I was asking about the service on Sunday. Hey, you know, how was service, and you know everything going on. And he mentioned that you know you guys did a. You know, with the poor, you guys all got the cards. And then you went back, and I guess the refreshments were tied into the cards. Whoever thought, that's genius. Seriously, whoever thought of that? Wow, that's just genius, right? So most of you guys were, you know, according to the ratio, were poor. And so you ate the poor food. And I hope it spoke something to you. You know what I mean? And then you come to the realization, wow, you know, people have it a lot worse off than I do. Right? People are in situations a lot worse than I am. And as a follower of Christ, you know, we can choose to just be about ourselves. Because sometimes when it's difficult, it's almost like a license to do that. Because everyone surrounds you. Oh, hey, are you okay? Yeah, everything okay? I'm praying for you and all these things. And it's okay, but don't get stuck in that rut. You know, be about other people. Reach out to other people. As Paul gives us really this perfect example. You know, even in his suffering, even in the midst of his difficulty, he's reaching out. He's concerned for others. And he just, there's just a longing in his heart. So he says, man, so I sent Timothy your way. Man, he's you know, he brought good news. And so you see that in his sadness, in a way, in his own personal sadness, Timothy comes back with the news and he's uplifted. Right? He lifts him, you know, the news lifts him out of his despair. Isn't that what happens when we serve and we give of ourselves? There's an uplifting of our spirit that happens. And it's almost like we start transcending our circumstances. We go beyond, you know, the things that seem to have mattered before, but now we see God working and doing, and we transcend our situations. And God literally lifts us up. And God lifts up Paul, you know, verse 6, now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we also long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all our distresses and afflictions, we were comforted about you through your faith. Right? Just helping others, being concerned about others, and then they hear the good news and something happens as you minister to people, as you serve. And then you're just comforted out of that place. It's kind of like uplifted from the situation that's going on. And you see Paul's heart in this. And he just longs to be about other people instead of to be about himself. Right? In prison, in chains, sick, right? Myriad things going on, lonely, broken, beaten. And yet he wants to think about other people. And so he ends chapter 3 with the prayers, verse 11. And so he prays. He's praying to the church on behalf of them. It says, now may our God and Father himself and Lord and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you. And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all men, just as we also do for you. Right? I mean, the idea is the labor of love. So that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Then he's kind of move into a different topic here. But he prays for them. He says, man, I hope that we can reach out, that we can connect with you, that we can find our way to you. It's his heart to encourage them and to bless them, even in the midst of his imprisonment and all the stuff that's going on. You know, and then the Lord calls you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all men. All right? Don't just love yourself. Love other people. Right? Love everyone around you. Abound in this. And God's going to do something powerful in your lives. Let's close our eyes today. Let me encourage you this morning to be like Paul. It's crazy. The more and more we're going through the epistles, and man, it's like it seems like every morning I get a newfound respect for Paul. What an incredible man of God. I want to encourage you. Maybe you're going through a time right now that's not the mountain peak, you know, time. This is a valley time for you. Can I encourage you not just to mull around in the valley, can I encourage you to reach out to somebody? Don't become so insular. Become outward focused. And as you serve and give of yourself, and as you become a wounded healer, watch what God does to you. He uplifts you. And others that maybe, you know, you're in the peak time of your life, you still reach out to others. You're blessed to be a blessing. As Gene leads us in a song, let's go before the Lord. And let's just really meditate on chapter 3. On the lessons that we can learn from Paul's life and his exhortation to the church in Thessalonica. Jesus told us, "Peace I leave with you. Peace that this world does not know do I give to you." In this world you'll have tribulation, but fear not, I have overcome the world. This morning, if you're going through a season of difficulty, just close your eyes. Open your heart. Let the presence of Jesus come, His peace. See, in the Lord, He doesn't give you peace. He gives you Himself, because He is peace. So Lord, right now, God, I pray for my friends, Lord, that maybe going through a time of difficulty, Lord. And in Jesus' name, release yourself. Go take a deep breath. Lord, shalom. You just take in the presence of God. And after, I should say, even as you're in His presence, reach out to somebody else. For the rest of us here this morning, let's pray. If you know someone, brother or sister, family member that may be going through a season of difficulty, pray God's presence comes to them right now in the fullness of His power. Let's pray together this morning. Go to our community prayer focus and let's pray for our friends that are going through cancer and chemotherapy, and it's not coming on. Oh, there we go. Let's ask God to send His healing word to our friends in this way. And you know, note the one on the bottom, Jennifer Kong. You guys remember Jennifer who moved to Singapore, and Jason. She's been diagnosed with a very rare form of lymphoma. And so she's starting chemotherapy right away. And so let's really pray. I know there's a group of guys in Singapore that have come together to pray for her. And so let's really lift her up before the Lord. And she's so young. And ask God's healing word to come. So let's pray for our friends here on the list. Go to our next slide and let's pray for those ones that are sick but also need that word of salvation even more importantly. Now let's lift them up before the Lord. Thank you. pray for others in our community that are going through different sicknesses. I want to alert you to Eshin's mom with the lung restoration. She went into ICU a couple days ago, and so Shane and Eshin are on their way to Korea, and so it's just not looking too good for the mom. So let's really pray for God to heal her supernaturally and to really comfort Shane and Eshin as well as they make their. I think they're in Seoul right now. And so let's pray for our friends on this list and really cry out to God and ask for His healing word to come. Pray for our friends that are looking for work. Let's ask God's hand to be with them and to provide supernaturally. Let's pray for our mission focus, and let's pray for China. Let's ask God's hand to be continuing with our friends in Beijing. Like I said, God's really moving powerfully. Let's pray that the momentum would keep going, and pray for P. Sam Kim and his family, and Chris and his family, and Mary. As God draws them together, that Holy Spirit would just keep leading, and we see more and more people get saved every week. Well, let's pray for the Chungs. Pray that they would get their visas soon. Jane and Joseph needs to get theirs, and so pray for an open door that way. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for the Basarabas and Leanne, Edie Clark. Pray for the kids in Chichihar. Just lift up the government, the churches, and there's quite a bit of uproar happening right now in China politically. And pray that God would have His way. Let's lift up right now. Let's pray for our staff and the board and the missions committee. Let's pray that God would touch the leaders and use them to really lead the church and operate in just godly wisdom. Pray that Jesus, the head, would lead this body. Let's pray for its members. Thank you. Let's pray for Pastor Selamat and his family and the Febe ministry. Pray for all the initiatives and their work in Meifu, their work here in Shengwan, and the Igape and different things that they're doing in the Bible school. Let's pray God's hand be with them and minister to the Indonesian women there, and that they would just really grow. Let's also pray for the Korean church and ask God to bless them as well. Let's pray for our house churches tonight, for Bonham, Kowloon, Lan Kwai Fong, Old Peak, and Happy Valley. Let's pray as people gather together that the Spirit of God would be in the midst of them, and they would grow and in love for God and for one another. And let's just pray for real tangible expressions of God's presence tonight in our house churches. Lord, we bless you this morning, God. We thank you that you're always with us, Lord. No matter what's going on in our life, God, the good, the bad, Lord, you're always there. You're always got open arms, God. And we just pray, Father, that we would be able to, in all circumstances, God, give thanks. Lord, give thanks by praising you, God, by giving of ourselves to you and to one another, Lord. And we thank you. Watch over us, Lord, the rest of this day. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today. Have a good time of prayer. I'll see you tomorrow.